Hey everyone, I am so happy to have Ezra here with me presenting his essential tips on preparing your novel, specifically about plotting, because that is his expertise. Take
Yay.
It away.
Great, thank you. Yeah, so I just want to get some essential tips to you. And one of them is keep in mind the most important parts of the story. The most important part of the story, I would say, is the ending. For example, you could have a wonderful book, but if it has a bad ending, then readers will likely dislike the story. So, on the flip side, if you are really bad at writing, well, if you have a great ending, hey, you win. The readers will love that. So, That's really important. And but then you might ask yourself, well, what about how am I supposed to make sure that I have a great ending? List of 20. No, this is something we use a lot. And one way you can use this is first of all, it's a brainstorming exercise. And what you can do is set a timer for like 10 minutes, have a piece of paper numbered from 1 through 20, and just brainstorm possible ideas. In this case, possible ideas on how your story will end. Sure enough, you'll pop up something that makes you shiver or chill and go, yeah, that's it. And that's the one you want. So this is a great way to come up with a fantastic ending.
Great. List of 20, our favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, we love that. Now, the second most important part of the story is the beginning. You want to hook your reader in, right? You want to catch the tiger by the toe, and when the reader hollers, don't let him go, right? You hook them in. So those are the most two important parts. The most important is the ending, and then the second is the beginning, where you hook them in. So that's the story in terms of priorities. Next thing I wanted to talk about is, I'm guilty of this. No deus ex machina.
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 Machinakina. Or no.
God in the machine.
Ex. Deus ex macadamia.
Macadamia, that's
yeah.
It.
Because it drives your readers nuts. So.
that's a good one.
Okay. So, all right. So.
So essentially it's God in the machine. Right?
Yeah, you put God in machine, you crank the... No, so what it is your hero and heroine or just the hero, they're at their wit's end, there's nothing possible to save the day, what's going to happen? And then God comes in out of nowhere, you've never introduced him before in the story, all of a sudden he pops out, or it doesn't, maybe some paranormal creature like a ghost or something that you've never seen before, pops out, saves the day, yay! So that doesn't work. People hate that. Now, I think the best example of where it actually worked in a story would be Raiders of the Lost Ark,
yeah.
Right? There you have gods jumping in and saving the day. So I always ask myself, why did that work? But I would say the reason it worked in that situation was because God was not this player that popped out of nowhere. First, he was introduced as in the explanation of what the Ark is. The Ark was something that they carried, and God would go through the Ark and defeat all the enemies. And then later on, there was a foreshadowing of how the Ark was inside a box, and the swastika on the box burned and magically. So you had the idea that God was present during all of this. So... I'd say in that case it was working because you had all this foreshadowing. In my book, The Torah Goes, now, yes, it is a bestseller, so that's awesome. But still, I think if I had done more foreshadowing, it would be a better story. I got some pretty scalding reviews for, hey, no deus ex machina.
Machina.
Macadamia.
God in the machine.
So then, okay, another thing is your denouement.
So this is the fourth thing, right?
This is actually the third thing.
Third thing.
Yeah, I skipped the very first thing, and then I'll get to that at the end.
So three because tips plus a bonus.
I'm a storyteller and I know how to tell stories flipwise.
Flipwise. Okay, that's good.
So, let's flip that page and talk about the denouement. You know, moment when you've passed the climax, and so now you want to get to a point where you want to tie up all the loose ends. Now, actually, this is more in the case of a thriller or a mystery. Say the conflict, the external conflict is over. The climax has shown the defeat of the conflict, the external conflict. But now there's the internal conflict that needs to be addressed. And that's popular in thrillers or mysteries. And the denouement, that last thing should be all the answers and the loose ends tied up within a few pages, within one or two chapters or one or two scenes. With a different genre like romance, what would you say?
I would say that the denouement, which means the tying up, actually it means the untying.
Untying.
That's why I'm really confused. But it really, in English, when we say denouement, it means to tie up all the loose ends. In romance, typically, what I have found in writing romance is readers want a little bit of a longer ending. They want the happily ever. They want to see the happily ever after. So at the end, you show your couple coming together, but you also want to show that little moment of the happily ever after, whether it's a holiday moment or the baby has come or something lovely like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I would say also, and I also write fantasy, so in the fantasy genre, the wrapping up of loose ends is very satisfying to readers, except if you're writing a series. Mm. And then but you still want to skillfully end the book and then hook them very gently for the next one.
Yeah.
So it depends on your genre, how your denouement is going to go. And you have a point, though, about a tip in planning your novel about the denouement.
About the denouement? No, I don't have any tips.
I thought you were going to... Oh, you said...
No, the list of 20 was for the planning of the ending, the climax, right? Was that what you were thinking of?
No, I was thinking that when you're planning your novel, you want to make sure that you wrap up the story as quickly as possible. Yeah. And that when you plan, like when you plan The 36 Righteous, which is Ezra's latest thriller... you made sure that the ending was short and sweet. And so in your planning process, because Ezra is a plotter, he put in those few essential scenes instead of dragging it out.
That's true. Like, I was guilty in my first book, The Torah Codes, of having it drag out long and long and long.
And longer.
And so... in The 36 Righteous, I actually did have an extensive ending planned out. But what I did was I pretty much figured out, how can I cut this, resolve all the issues, and make it as short as possible. And that was actually extremely necessary because the climax was a huge surprise, major twist. We're talking Sixth Sense twist, huge. So,
but we're not revealing it here.
No, they all die in the end. Oh, wait, no. Yeah. So,
he says that all the time.
So, knowing that there was this huge surprise ending, I wanted people to leave off with that and not just read more and more pages to kind of, make that exciting ending not dissipate, but dilute. I didn't want to dilute it.
Mm-hmm. Good word, dilute.
Yeah, good science word. Yeah. Okay, one last tip. This is a bonus tip because I gave you three. Here's a fourth bonus. If there's a bomb in your story, it's got to explode. Or maybe not the bomb itself, but there's got to be an explosion. And so now, I'm not just talking about an actual bomb, because it could be represented by other things in other genres of stories, even romance. I was actually turned on to this by the Simpsons episode where Itchy and Scratchy were getting in a car driving and they pass the signs, you know, 10 kilometers or 10 miles away from the rocket factory, the 5 whoa, 5 kilometers away from the rocket factory. And then they were getting closer, and they were getting angrier and angrier at each other. And finally, they they resolved their issues and became friends. And that was the end. And you were getting, what about the bomb factory? They wanted to see an explosion. They were very frustrated. So, in the opening of my book, 36 Righteous, it actually happens twice that there are bombs that are diffused. And so I left the reader with no explosions. And I realized, no, I can't do that. There, something has to explode. Put in the case of romance, like maybe the hero is coming to stop the heroine from getting married to the wrong man or to the villain or something. But there has to be a wedding, right? So typically, a way to resolve this is to have the thing that stopped, whether it's a bomb exploding or the wedding that stopped, have that happen to the other person. So the bomb is stopped, so the hero is saved, but then the villain finds the bomb in his briefcase. And so instead of the schoolyard exploding, it's the villain. Or, you know, the hero stops the wedding from happening, so the villain doesn't get married, but then the hero gets to marry the heroine. And so the wedding is still there. Great. So that's...
great.
So those are mine, yeah.
And just to underscore, Ezra thinks of these tips when he's planning his novel, and he uses them as a checklist, right?
Yeah, exactly. I might go through with outlining my entire story, but then I think of all these little important ideas that are actually essential to making the story great, and I make sure that they're in there, that they're in the outline before setting a single word on paper. So this is perfect for doing in October before NaNoWriMo. NaNoWriMo is considered the point where you write your first word in your book. So this is all happens before you write that first word.
Great. And any last tips for them before we segue to the essential character tips?
Write crap. Yeah.
Yes.
Don't worry about what it's like. Just write crap, get it out there, and you can always edit it later. It's a lot easier to meet that word count and to get a lot of great stuff on the page. You'll be surprised at how good it is later on. Mm-hmm. But if you're, as long as you're not thinking about making it pristine the first time around, just get it out there. That's my final tip.
Great. Well, I'm going to pause the video right now for some technical upgrades.